Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, and high school football season is just around the corner. It begins on September the 6th in our area as we look forward to high school football. And one way to kick it off is to talk to John Betts, who is with Kansas Pregame, and he's got the magazines out. It looks beautiful, looks awesome as always, and lots of, well, man, I'm looking at the front cover right now, some big ombres on here. John, how's it going, man?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, we've definitely got some big dudes in the state of Kansas this year, and it was fun to kind of focus on that theme, maybe something a little different than what we've done in the past. And so, but yep, I'm doing good. It's a busy time, getting ready for the season to kick off, and it's certainly a whole lot of fun.
It is, and let's begin for our area. Folks are interested in 3, 2, 1A, and 8-man. So let's just begin at the top at 3A, where are the rankings in your magazine, Kansas Pregame, available at various locations across north central Kansas, across the entire state of Kansas. Sabetha, no surprise there, number one, back-to-back champs. Marysville, 2, Andale, 3, Scott City, 4, Topeka Hayden, 5. And then others, Beloit listed, along with Frontenac, Halstead, Heston, Jeff West, Parsons, Wamego, Wichita Collegiate. So let's start with Beloit. Certainly it'll help to have their quarterback back, although Grant Arrowsmith did a nice job in place of Hudson Gray. But he was off to a great start last year. 2 years ago had an outstanding season. And Beloit does have some key guys back at the skill positions. Their defense looks like it's going to be pretty decent, but they are in a tough district.
Yeah, I think they have an opportunity to really have a nice season. But I think everybody in your area knows that the key will be for them to stay healthy. Because, you know, I think I saw they have 41 kids out. And honestly, in this day and age, that's a pretty decent number. Mm-hmm. But compared to the elite in this classification, you know, Andale's going to have 100 kids out every year. And then Scott City's going to have a ton of kids out, and Hayden and those kind of things. Those teams are going to have more depth. So they can't afford to have an injury to Hudson Gray again, or, you know, they had late season injuries to running backs last year. There's just really not hardly any position on the field for them that they have depth. But if they stay healthy, you look at their district, I think that they are likely the second best team in that district. You know, Scott City is going to be outstanding. They return a lot of talent, even though they lose Wyatt Hayes. Colby, I think, is going to be a contender in there again, but you can't not take a step back when you lose a player like Jordan Shippers. You know, really one of the truly all-time great multiple sport athletes in Northwest Kansas history. And they're going to have to find a way, you know, Colby is, to replace him. And they've got a few other pieces, Hagen Bowie at the fullback position, and Aaron Kurth, the big offensive lineman who's got some Division I looks, and the stop kid that's a really speedy running back for them. So I don't think they're going to have a massive drop-off, but I still think that they, you know, they're going to need to develop some players to fill in for all the things that Jordan Shippers did over his career as a four-year starter. So when you look at Beloit, I think that Hudson Gray is truly one of the great throwing quarterbacks in Class 3A. I think we saw that Coach Gober wanted to try to do some things to capitalize on that early in the season last year. And then, of course, the injury kind of forced them to use a pretty quality stable of runners that they had there in the backfield. You look at Creighton Johnson, that kid is a beast. Mm-hmm. You know, he was part of our weight room feature. He really might have been the most impressive just looking guy there that in the weight room, and he's a big physical guy. I like Trace McQueen. I think he's a nice blocker for them. I think that you're probably going to see Grady Seifert, you know, who's just coming into his freshman year, is probably going to have the opportunity to kind of follow in his father's footsteps and be a really nice player for Beloit and add a little depth on the offensive line for them. Vinny Pollen is a guy that's going to catch the ball for him. And I think that, you know, as we know at that level, a lot of those guys are going to contribute defensively. You know, I really expect that if they stay healthy, this is a team that you know, maybe can give Scott City a challenge for the district title and maybe can have an opportunity to, you know, win a couple playoff games. And you never know. Things go right. Maybe they can make a run. But we'll say it time and time and time again this year, Boyd. They've got to stay healthy.
Yeah, it seems to be that story each and every year. And And Grant Arrowsmith will be back. Also, Carson Cox, which anchors the defense, but also those two can help in the backfield. So it will be interesting to see if Beloit can stay healthy. And when you look at 3A overall, and we'll start with Beloit at Faribault, Nebraska on Friday, September the 6th on Z96.3 Lake and a live video stream at ncksports.com. Sabetha, two-time defending champion. I mean, Dusty has this adage, if you haven't been beaten, you get to stay at the top, even in the preseason ranking, which I can see the validity to that. But Sabetha and Marysville, top two teams, and they're in the same district.
Yeah, and, you know, I chose Sabetha based a lot on the fact that I felt like they had been there and done that before. They lose a lot of key pieces. I mean, you look at Elliot Strom that was on our cover last year and now is a preferred walk-on at K-State. And Coy Roki, who is a really great linebacker, maybe didn't get as much media as he deserves. And their running back, I think it's the Gruber kid. They had a lot of really talented players. And, of course, you know, they're going to pin a lot of their hopes on Gabe Garber, the returning quarterback, who has been a huge part of all of their athletic success over the last couple of years. And they have a lot of kids out, and I think Coach Michael has done a really great job with that program. And so I look at this and say that they're number one, but by the thinnest of margins. I mean, Marysville, with the Hornbeek kid in the backfield, the returning quarterback, and I believe his name is pronounced Schradel, Garen Shampoo, who is an outstanding linebacker, but he suffered an injury this offseason, and I think he's going to be recovered from it, but they have a lot of depth. Of course, Andale is Andale. Scott City is Scott City. Topeka Hayden may be a forgotten team. Everybody, I feel like people forget about Topeka Hayden because they end up making a deep run in the playoffs, but they do it with four or five losses because they play in the Centennial League, and they have to play the Topeka Highs and the Washburn Rules and the Emporias of the world, and they go toe-to-toe with them in any given year. An interesting note about Topeka Hayden is Bill Arnold is entering his 20th season overall as a head coach. He spent his first 7 years at Scott City as the head coach, and so he's been hugely successful and maybe not a coach that we talk about as much in the kind of legendary status yet, but a guy that probably really deserves that kind of consideration. You know, if you look at the start of the current Bishop Miege run, I believe the closest state championship game that they've had in that span was a 42-35 victory over Topeka Hayden. So, you know, you look at Hayden, and they're competitive with everybody. And then Frontenac, ton of experience back. Halstead has a ton of experience back. Jeff West is a really intriguing team. They have these three brothers, the Sa'ili brothers, are originally of Samoan descent, and they are very talented, very big, very physical, and they have a number of other experienced returners. We say it almost every year, this is the deepest classification, and for obvious reasons, more teams, you know, 48 teams, previously 64 teams, and more teams from top to bottom that are going to be closer in student population, which is going to give you, you know, that kind of competitiveness, that kind of parity, but just also a lot of really good athletic programs, really a lot of schools that are successful at multiple sports and have a lot of kids that compete at all those sports and are very competitive. So it's a tough classification, and whoever comes out on top will have earned it, no doubt.
John Betts of Kansas Pregame Magazine, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. I don't want to spend a lot of time on 2A because more of our area teams are in 1A and 8-man, so let's go briefly with 2A. You've got Phillipsburg, number 1, defending champs, Hoisington, 2, Conway Springs, 3, Rossville, 4, Riley County, 5. Two things I want you to touch upon. One, Phillipsburg, of course. They still have a sides kid. They'll probably be playing quarterback. And then two, Silver Lake's not in the top 5. I was like, does Silver Lake change classifications? Because they're always ranked, but they lost a lot to graduation. So touch upon those two.
Phillipsburg, I chose them as number one because they will have a sides kid at quarterback, and I just think that family is exceptional at athletics, and not just the athletic component of it, but the mental component of it. They really understand the game, and they know how to play it. Hoisington is a popular pick for number one, but you know, I just feel like Phillipsburg, similar to Sabetha, even though that they've lost so many pieces, they still kind of have to be knocked off. Silver Lake, they just don't have the depth that they've had in the past. They don't have the numbers and the experience. They will still be very good, and you know, they'll still probably have great games with Rossville and Riley County. But I just, right now, they just don't look like they're, you know, they're probably six. You know, they just don't look like to me that they're the top five. But Hoisington is going to be a very tough out this year. Experience, and of course, Wyatt Pettigo, probably the best player in the classification.
All right, Class 1A, Smith Center, no shocker here. They are the number one preseason team in the poll, of course, winning a state title. And they have a chance to, if I remember correctly, have the most state titles for any school in football. Is that right, if they get it this year?
That's correct.
That's huge.
11 overall championships would be the number.
Lucky number 11. So you've got Smith Center, of course, then there's Plainville. They've had some epic battles here the last five, six, 7 years. Jackson Heights at 3, Centralia 4, Sedgwick at 5, Colgan, who's always one that you have to think of when you think of Class 1A. Of course, used to be these guys were in Class 2A. Thoughts on 1A? Is there anybody that's really can challenge Smith Center, or is Smith Center going to run away with this thing, or is there somebody you like better than Smith Center to win Class 1A?
So last year, I thought that Smith Center would take a pretty massive step back. And I'm going to be honest and say that I think that the Smith Center class from 2 years ago would beat last year's class pretty soundly if they played in a game. You know, I apologize to any of my peers that are parents in Smith Center. I think everybody kind of knows that team with Dalton Kuhn was really, really good. And so I thought they'd take a step back, and I still thought that they would be the best team, and I thought they would win a state championship. I didn't anticipate that they would steamroll their way to a state championship again. And that's a big part of the reason. You know, they're probably not as experienced as they were even a year ago. But they have some pieces. They've got Jaden Atwood. They've got a nice line with Charlie Timmons and the Montgomery kid. And they've got, you know, the Colby kid. And I think they've got some pieces. It just the last 2 years indicate to me that their program is so head and shoulders above the rest of the classification that it would just be a shock to me that if they didn't go and win the state championship by probably at least a couple of touchdowns. Now, I think Plainville is very good. Plainville, like Beloit, has no depth. I think they got 27 players out this year. The Casey kid who was on our cover, exceptional player. Finnessy at quarterback, exceptional player. Either one of those guys gets dinged up, goes down, it could really put a damper on their season. If they're healthy going into, you know, there's a potential a playoff rematch with Smith Center, if they're healthy going into that, then maybe there's an opportunity for it to keep it competitive, but I think it would be quite the upset if they were able to find a way. On the other side of the state, I really like Jackson Heights. For those of you who aren't familiar, Caleb Wick, a former Smith Center guy, is the head coach there. They're a wishbone team. They have an absolutely huge offensive line. I like Jackson Heights last year, and they beat Olpe 20-18. I think that, I can't remember if that was a district game or a playoff game or a regular season game, but I know that they lost to Olpe 20-18. I'm sorry, but obviously very competitive there with the East Side representative in the 1A state championship game. But there's a lot of teams on that side: Jackson Heights, Centralia, Colgan. Olpe returns quite a bit of experience, so I think it's going to be a very competitive race on that side. But the question mark is whoever runs the gambit on that side, are they going to be able to hold a candle to, you know, whether it would be Smith Center or Plainville or even Sedgwick? I think that those teams are probably going to be quite a bit better than what the East Side has to offer.
That's a look at Class 1A. Now let's shift to the 8-man ranks. 8-man Division 1. Canton Galvel, number 1 in the Kansas Pregame Magazine in your preseason ranking. St. Francis, 2. Hodgman County, 3. Central Plains, 4. Madison, 5. Hill City, Hoxie, Little River, Oswego, Maranatha Academy, Sedan, South Central, Udall, Victoria, Wichita County, all mentioned in the others. So let's start there real briefly as to who you think is going to be the team holding up the trophy in 8-man 1 at the end of the year.
Well, Canton Galva has all this experience returning. They lost no one from last year's team. Outstanding quarterback, outstanding sophomore wide receiver named Tyson Strubery, the 6'2", 180-pound kid, runs a 4.6 40, really going to be an outstanding player that could probably play at a high level collegiately. This is a very deep classification. I I think Canton Galva is the pick by a slim margin. Central Plains lost so much. Central Plains was one of the best high school football teams in the history of Kansas high school football, just the most dominant. And if you went to watch them, they were not physically imposing. They you know, certainly you look at a Miles Mingus, and he is a big physical kid who goes on to Fort Hays State to play. But there's a lot of guys that were just, you know, 6'1", 180 pounds. I mean, that's, their defensive line was not big and imposing, but, man, they were physical. They were educated on every given week on what the opponent was going to do. They ran to the football. But man, they were decimated. That roster was decimated by graduation. Now, I still feel like they're going to be right there. Obviously, I have them ranked fourth. But Madison is a team that has a lot of experience. I really like Hill City. Hill City might be my number six. They lose their quarterback, the Bourne kid, who's really good, but they've got Daylon Jornigan back in the backfield. They've got some huge athletic offensive and defensive interior guys that I think are great. I think this is a really balanced classification, but it would seem going into it that Canton Galva's experience certainly should deliver them from the east side. It's been a kind of a thing where the east side, they can't really hold up to the west side competition in the state championship game. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
All right, quick thoughts on the team in your backyard, Lincoln.
You know, I think they've got a little bit better numbers out. I think that the schedule will be a little bit more manageable because you look at Clifton Clyde and they lost quite a bit of talent. You look at some of the other teams in that classification, you know, I think it'll be tough for them, but they need to stay healthy as well. Tyler Good is a really good player. Landon O'Hare is a really good player. They keep Zach O'Miller, the senior. They keep those guys healthy. I think they have a chance to be certainly more competitive, but that district is just really tough.
Eight-man Division II, Hanover number one, shocker. Axtell number two, Osborne three, St. Paul 4, South Barber 5, others, Frankfort, Hutch Central Christian, Otis Bison, Sylvan Lucas, Thurn Ridge in our neck of the woods, along with Osborne. Hanover's always a story when it comes to eight-man football, has been for quite some time. Really, it was them and B&B, and then once Baileyville B&B closed their doors, it became Hanover's crown for the most part. Hanover has won 38 in a row, and I'm just going to say it right now. I don't even know their first four games of the year, but I'm going to say that they break the record that you're posting here in your article in regards to the winning streak for eight-man all-time consecutive victories, which is 41, set by Northern Valley and Scandy as well. So go ahead and just chalk that up. It's going to happen. Put all your money and your mortgage and everything else on it. Okay, maybe you don't go that far, but whatever. You get the point. But I guess the question is, who's going to stand in the way of Hanover from winning another state title?
Well, Axtell has every opportunity to stand in the way of Hanover this year. Hanover returns one starter, and he's a good one. Jonah Weber, big offensive and defensive lineman. Now, of course, they're going to have a stable of kids, and they're going to be competitive, and they are definitely a, until someone beats them, you know, their number one kind of a team. But Axtell, with a healthy Quinn Bussing and Colby Talbot, who is a junior offensive and defensive lineman, now they lose the Cook kid at wide receiver. You know, Bussing and Cook connected for a record number of touchdown passes last year. But they really have an opportunity to knock Hanover off this year. And I anticipate that contest is going to tell us everything that we probably need to know about this classification. You know, Osborne lost quite a bit. Of course, Darian Holloway is back. Mason Schur is back, gives them the speed that they're used to having in the backfield. And, of course, Steve Tiernan is a proven commodity. And, you know, I think that they're going to come in, and they're, as long as they keep those two kids healthy especially, they're going to have an opportunity to compete. But then St. Paul with Adam Albertini and South Barber with the Rooks kid and Thunder Ridge, you mentioned from your area, they are a real a team that could really sneak up on a lot of people. And I think everybody probably knows this by now, but Reese struck off as a kid that couldn't play last year because of transfer to Stockton a couple years ago and him having to set out. He's an absolute stud. You know, he's 5'10", 195 pounds, and he's a 350-pound bencher, and he's a 300-pound cleaner, and he's fast, and he catches the ball well. I think he's going to line up a quarterback for Thunder Ridge this year, and that allows them to shuffle some experienced guys into some different roles. I wouldn't be surprised to see Thunder Ridge wind up in the state championship game this year. They really have that kind of potential to emerge this season.
Wow, wow, that would be something. Hanover plays Axtell on October the 11th. That's week six, so that's a game to circle on the calendars. And John was just talking about Thunder Ridge. We're going to have Osborne at Thunder Ridge October 25th on KD Country 94. That could end up being one heck of a football game. All right, so of all of this that we talked about, well, let's get into this. I guess I don't want to leave out the other schools that we have in our area. Your thoughts on Lakeside, St. John's Tipton, Sylvan Lucas, and Rock Hills?
Rock Hills, new coach, a kid that I've gotten to know a little bit over the years because he was a player at Lakin, he was a player at Fort Hays, and then he went back and coached at Lakin for a while, Colby Hamill. He was a big physical offensive line type. I've had conversations with him over the years because he's really been looking for that first head coaching job, and I think he's a guy that can make an impact there. I think Coach McMillan was an outstanding coach. But, you know, I think this is coming into this as a first-time guy, and I saw some of the stuff that he did on social media this year bringing kids out. You know, I think Rock Hills has an opportunity to have a fine season there. Of course, Riley Welchel really has an opportunity to be one of the best players in the state of Kansas. You know, at Lakeside, you know, kind of had some struggles over the last years. I know they've got some young talent. I believe there's a Shone kid that's going to be maybe a sophomore that has the potential to be a really nice player for them. You know, looking a little bit closer to home for me, Sylvan Lucas, if they can stay healthy, I think they have an opportunity to be really good. Bo Batchman, of course, is an outstanding player for them. Trey Barrientos, the now two-time state wrestling qualifier, the offensive lineman for them, is a good-looking kid. Marshall Holbert and the Meyer kid that plays running back for them. You know, I think they'll have an opportunity to be competitive in any of those contests. I look at any of those teams and say, is there an opportunity for them to make a playoff run? You know, I'm not sure whether that's in their cards, but certainly I think there's an opportunity for them all to be a little more competitive this year. And then, of course, you look right there at St. John's Beloit for the first time in a long time. You've got a new coach and Coach Gangler, you know, I just think that'll be an interesting experience. I know they've got some pieces back, but, of course, they're going to miss Cale Dubert going to graduation. And it'll be interesting to see what a new coaching philosophy brings to the table. And also, I'd like to say it'll be interesting to see how that field holds up this year because, oh, my goodness, I went to the St. John's Frankfurt game last year. I've never seen a field torn up that bad during a playoff game of my life. So I hope that they got that grass to take hold this year.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because, like, Hanover, we always know there's Brunas, and that's been that way for decades. With St. John's Tipton, it's not decades per se, although when you go down the family tree, you've got multiple Duberts that have been the eight-man All-Star game in Beloit, but there is no Dubert. There's Lauren Dubert for volleyball and girls basketball and all that, but right. For football, for the first time in quite some time, St. John's Tipton does not have a Dubert to rely on or count on, and so other kids are going to have to step up. And I agree with you, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with – I mean, I think we know what's going to happen over in Osborne. I mean, proven commodity with Coach Tiernan, he's been at Osborne before, but what happens at Rock Hills and St. John's Tipton, it's always interesting to see what new coaches bring to the table.
Absolutely, and scheme-wise, you know, Coach Christine was an old-school scheme guy. He's going to run the ball at you, he's going to run sweep, and those kind of things, and so it'll be interesting to see if any of that switches up. Of course, all the rage is to run some type of spread scheme where you are maybe running zone read with RPO, the acronym of the day, the run pass option, and so it'll be interesting to see if any of those, we'll call them more modern schemes, get added into the strategy for some of those teams.
All right, one last question for you before we get to the off-the-wall question. We're talking to John Betts. He's our guest today with Kansas Pregame Magazine. It's out and about all across the state of Kansas. Does a wonderful job with the publication, and you need to get your free copy today at all those sponsor locations. Of all the classes we mentioned, all the schools that we are aware of, And it might have, I think your answer might have been Thunder Ridge, but since you let the cat out of the bag on that one, that you really like Thunder Ridge, so I won't let you pick that as your answer. So anybody besides that one, what team or school do you sit here and look at and go, here's a team people aren't talking about that I really, really think can be a big surprise at year's end?
I don't know if I can say, you know, like nobody's talking about them, but maybe they're not on the radar as much as the typical top five. I really like Valley Heights, Blue Rapids, Waterville, and in 1A, they've got a 4-year starter at running back in Cole Coggins. They've got a 3- or 4-year starter at quarterback in Jackson Beardsley, I believe is his name. They've got a big offensive line. I think I saw that they have something like 29 kids out or something like that, which is the biggest number that they've had in years. And now I think Jackson Heights, Valley Heights, and Troy are all in the same district. And last year they really beat each other up, and I would anticipate that potentially it could be similar again this year. But they're a team that I wouldn't be surprised to see, emerge and make a deep playoff run this year.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question, John. I'm going to put you on the spot here. And that is, it ties in with your magazine. How many different businesses – this is a two-part question. How many different businesses – did you have to deliver the magazine to across the state of Kansas? Do you know the exact number?
I don't know the number, but I can tell you the route that I took if you'll if you want to tolerate
Do we have enough time?
I how about if I just tell you what route I took on the Thursday to do that? So that was we go out to Denver. We printed a place called Publication Printers. It's a nice little opportunity. We went to a Rockies game on the Tuesday night. We got up and we did a rafting trip down Clear Creek from Idaho Springs that Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. Then we go pick the magazines up. We drive to St. Francis. We avoided a giant hailstorm that actually ended up dumping record hail on a little town in eastern Colorado called Idalia.
Yep.
And we just fortunately our route just split right between these two storm cells. And we did St. Francis, Atwood, and Colby on that Wednesday night. And then Thursday, I got up and I drove Colby, Goodland, Sharon Springs, Winona, Leote, Syracuse, Elkhart, Hugoton, Ulysses, Lakin, Garden City, Scott City, Ness City, Waukini, Ellis, and then back home to Lincoln. So I left at about 8:15 on Wednesday morning from Colby and got home at about 11 o'clock Thursday night in Lincoln. And I had three other similar days, the Friday, Saturday, and Monday to do deliveries.
Do you have anybody else that helps you deliver to other parts of the state, or do you do it all?
A ton of people. I have a courier service out of Wichita that helps, and then I have all kinds of people that I'm surprised that they even answer my phone around this time of year because
they know what you mean.
Everett Royer helps. Dave Tharp up in Smith Center has helped in the past. Connor Nipple that writes for us has helped at different times. But this year I had a intern through the Next Gen Roundup for Youth intern program. His name is Gallagher Martin, and he wrote for us, and he's actually going to continue to write for us. But he did most of Northwest Kansas and the McPherson Hillsboro area. And then I go into any community, and if there's a coach that I can call in to do deliveries and stuff. And so it's kind of a scattershot approach to the distribution method, but I really like it. I call it grassroots, you know, distribution. I was in Troy, Kansas, when it was 105 degrees and there's this corn all over and the humidity there is at a different level. You can feel it radiating out of these cornfields. But I was in Elkhart, Kansas in one part of the week, and I was in Troy, Kansas at the beginning of the next week. And I love getting to see my state. And frankly, I love living in Kansas. I love the fact that our topography changes from the Cimarron National Grassland in the Elkhart area to the rolling hills that resemble something out of Iowa and Nebraska corn country in the mm-hmm. Northeast. And it's just a lot of fun going out to get to meet all of these sponsors that we have and all these people. And the people in our communities are so nice and kind. And everywhere I go, it's a reaffirming deal, because I walk in and they're like, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad people have been calling looking for this, yeah. or I'm so glad that we have it and that kind of thing. And so it's just a really special time.
Absolutely. All right, so your last question, how many magazines are printed?
This year, 11,250 hard copies were printed. And as you can imagine, as we slip further and further into the digital age, the product is consumed at an almost 2-to-1 rate online versus in hard copy. But one of the things that I love, and the reason that I will continue to produce a printed product until paper is just no longer a thing or I can't afford to do it, is that I'm providing something that's permanent. And if you're out there and you're a kid that's playing a sport and you were featured, or you know, if you were just one of the returning starters listed in a capsule, mm-hmm. If you have a good scrapbooking mom like I did, mm-hmm. then you'll have that 20 years from now when yep. you come home and you bring your kids home, and grandma gets to show the grandkids that, you know, one day, however many years ago, your dad or your mom was a great athlete. And so I love social media. I love online, but you're not going to scroll through 20 years of a timeline to show grandkids what happened. Right. So it's nice for them to have something permanent that they can keep.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing when we have, you know, allow people to buy copies of the broadcast of games, because they didn't do that when I was growing up. So I didn't have, if I wanted a copy of a game that I had a good game, or if it was an exciting win for our team or something like that, it really wasn't available. And so you're right, because I've had some people tell me, whether it be a magazine, which I helped with one when we were up in Northeast Kansas years ago, your magazine, or if it's a radio broadcast, whoever it may be, or hey, you're athlete of the week, you can print that off of ncksports.com. Whatever it may be, you make a great point. It's something permanent. It's something that you can go back, and if your kids don't believe that you were okay athlete, hey, read the magazine right here. Here's my name. All right. Listen to the radio announcer. There's my name. That's me. It wasn't anybody else. You can at least prove yourself. Although by that time, the kids might not even care anyway, but still, it's something that you can be proud of. And I know adults that are in their 40s or 50s and even older that still have jerseys of theirs back in the day, right. or a magazine cover, as you mentioned, the newspaper articles that are actually still on bulletin boards or somewhere on their ceiling, not their ceilings, but their walls and their basement, or somewhere where it's easily accessible to open it up and, I don't want to say brag, but to be proud of what they did.
Sure. And that's what it's all about. And just to be able to share that you were part of a team and that yeah. you were, you know, you lived that, go out and work with your teammates and learn how to exist in a team working environment and things like that. And in addition to maybe starring or having some success in the wins column and that thing. But something I've started doing is every year when we're doing a feature or, you know, every month anymore, it seems like we're inviting kids to a centralized location to photograph a feature. I always hold up a copy of the magazine and I say, this is a magazine. It's made out of paper. It has pages that you turn. You have to physically hold them. You can't scroll.
Right.
So that's kind of a fun thing. Sometimes the kids think that's funny, and then, you know, most of the time they're teenagers, so they think I'm just annoying. But
you're just old and annoying, like me. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's right. All right. So with that, the final segue. So if people, we know they can pick them up at various locations across the state. The location is too numerous to mention, obviously. But they also can go online. Tell them where they can go online to check it out.
Yeah, kansaspregame.com. We have a new website that we launched in January of this year, and we plan to try to expand to eventually all sports coverage. You know, we're probably going to have a focus on the sports that maybe have a little higher participation at all schools in the state. But, you know, someday down the road we might get to the soccers and the swimmings and those kind of things. But if you go to kansaspregame.com, you'll find a link to our e-edition, and you'll find a link to a page where you can see a complete list of hard copy locations. And if you can't find a copy, you'll find our contact information, and you can reach out to me, and I will try to connect you with a hard copy. So head out to kansaspregame.com now and all season long.
Fantastic. Excellent work. As always, John, we appreciate the time and enjoy the upcoming high school football season, my friend.
And thanks so much to you for your time, and good luck to you guys this season. I know how hard you guys work. The average person does not realize the amount of prep that you do. When I get up in the booth with you guys sometimes and you've got these flip charts with all the numbers and the names and the heights and the weights and the positions and you've got depth and you've just everything that you need to know about a team in a given week to do play-by-play, and then the fact that it is a live production where you have to be on your A game for, 3 hours or whatever it may be, and then you got to go home and get something up online. I know the work that you guys do, and I can tell you that the parents and the athletes, they absolutely appreciate it, and I appreciate it being in the same, similar line of work that you are. So good luck to you this season as well.
John, appreciate the kind words, man. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll probably see you at one of the football games coming up this season.
I imagine so. Thank you.
John Betts. Kansas Pregame is the magazine. Get your free copy today, or before they run out. You better get it quickly to have that permanent thing for the rest of your life. Kansas Pregame, kansaspregame.com.